Well, good evening. I am a grateful believer in Jesus, finding some victory over my addiction to alcohol, and my name is Jack.
Hi, Jack.
And we are continuing on in our teaching series, as Jeff mentioned. Every other week we get back into the core lessons that make up this ministry, the work of this ministry. We've got ladies and gentlemen currently going through an in-depth work on these lessons. We call it a step study. If you haven't gotten into a step study, I highly recommend that you do so when we open up the next ones. It's not something you can join at any time. We close them off as we start going deeper and start getting very transparent with our lives and our hurts and our habits and our hang-ups, but we like to offer them, you know, throughout the year. So ladies and the guys will wrap up here probably in a couple of months each, and then I have a little bit of break, and then we'll be looking for some leaders to maybe step up and start this all again. So tonight's lesson, we find ourselves in the lesson we call Give. And this is not about where you have to give more money when we pass the baskets at the end of the evening. This is that's it. That's part of the giving, but it's not what the bulk of this lesson focuses on. And so, as I too want to welcome anybody that's new here tonight. This is a series of lessons. In the step study, there's a very logical and thoughtful order in which we work the steps, in which we work the principles, in which we work these lessons, which kind of expand on the steps and the principles. But when we teach on Thursday nights, it is information that whether it's your first night here or your 5,000th night here, Thursday here, hopefully it will be something that you can take away and put into your life. And so that's the design. So in other words, you don't have needed to have been here for everything up to this point. So let me put it that way. Each of the lessons is supported by one of the eight principles, one of the 12 steps, and since we work them in order, we are now at principle 8, or maybe have been for that matter for a little while now, and we are arriving at step 12 if we haven't done that. So let me just read those to you. Principle 8, we didn't read this earlier, says to yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. And the beatitude that supports that, or that grows, is grown out of, is happier those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. And that persecution piece is going to be a little bit key later on to this idea of giving and where this lesson goes. Step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brothers and sisters, Paul writes in Galatians, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently, but watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. And many times people read that in CR is, as I'm going out to help others, I've got to protect my own sobriety, we'll call it. If you're a substance addicted person, you get that. But your sobriety, if you're codependent, is not falling back into those codependent behaviors. Your sobriety, if you're struggling with porn and lust, is not falling back into those issues. And so most people think when they see that scripture that it's saying, oh yeah, I got to help others, but I got to be careful not to get sucked in and have it impact my recovery. That is true, but I also want you to go to the other side of that. Because I want you to guard yourselves against falling from pride. You've been here 2 years, you've done a step study, you're volunteering, maybe you've done the leadership training, you've got one of these fancy schmancy lanyards, and you think you're pretty special. And so you go in and give and help others with that kind of attitude, and you've lost some of that humility you had when you came in. And so I think it's also coaching all of us to guard against the enemy's desire for us to get prideful, for us to start taking control away from God. And so that's another meaning, I think, there. John Baker writes about this lesson, we are never more like God. And John Baker's the founder of Celebrate Recovery, by the way, for those that may not know. We are never more like God than when we give. Not just money or things, but when we give our very selves. And so that's kind of where we're going tonight. In principle 8 and step 12 for that matter, we put our faith into action. When it talks about yielding myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my word. So it's an action step. It's no longer the theory of recovery, the theory of helping others. You're now doing it. James writes in his scripture, or in the scriptures, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And I think that you could take the word faith out of that and put in recovery, and you'd have the same point. Recovery by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Or perhaps we might call that is relapse. Okay, so that idea of we need to consistently be working a recovery program. A lot of the lessons that we teach and a lot of the time we spend in early recovery is doing actions to help ourselves get healthy, because you can't help somebody to the fullest extent that God designed you to help them without you being healthy first. And that's why I'm so much about this ministry and working on ourselves. We don't go out to change other people. We change ourselves, and that changed self has an impact, has an effect, has some influence on other people's. That's how we make a difference in there. Not by setting our minds, so I'm going to go out and change that person. Okay. So how do we fulfill the kind of calls to action that we find in principle 8 and step 12? Well, we give. Matthew 10:8 sums it up when it says, "Freely you have received, freely give." We give of our time, we give of our wisdom, we give of our tears, our money, our testimonies, and so much more in this ministry when you get to that stage. So we're not just talking about tithing, or we're not just talking about the offering. We're talking about you giving back. Because if you don't know it already, that is one of the strongest guards against relapse in your own life. And it brings you a lot of joy, okay? Go back to that quote from John Baker. "We are never more like God when we give. Not just money or things, but when we give our very selves. Just like God did. Just like Jesus did." So we're reflecting that when we give. Now, can you throw up the principle 8 up on the screen for me? Perfect. Notice, good news is capitalized. So that's the good news. It's not celebrate recovery is awesome and Jack is a fabulous leader. Okay, it's not that. That's true, by the way. But it is the good news. It is the gospel. It is the saving gospel message of Jesus Christ. In Romans 8:32, it says, "He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things?" And so as we start our acrostic tonight, and for you who are new to Celebrate Recovery, we use the acrostic teaching format in a lot of our lessons, where we take a word tonight, give, and we apply some meaning to each of the letters. So the G, for those of you, and by the way, if you have a handout, you can see, should see some blanks where you can fill in some of those, or actually all of the fill-ins I have for you. So let's see, the G is for God first. God first. As I mentioned, the good news and the principle is capitalized. We need to ground ourselves in the truth of our salvation. We need to ground ourselves in the truth of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. We need to ground ourselves in the fact that when we share or give the good news to others, that is the most profound, life-changing, eternity-guaranteeing gift that you can give by passing along that good news. And so I will encourage you tonight to ground yourself in the gospel, to ground yourself in the message of Christ, that we are saved only by his grace, and that you share that, that you take opportunities to share that with others. This ministry is as much an evangelical ministry as it is a discipleship ministry, as it is a spiritual formation ministry, as it is a recovery ministry. When you share Jesus with people, that changes you as well. And if you haven't had that experience where you've shared Christ with somebody, you've even had the experience of God doing his supernatural work in their heart and they accept him. Because remember, your job is not to force him on them or to get them to accept, okay? Your job is to just talk about him. Talk about how what he's done in your life is one of the best ways to do it. That's why we do testimonies. But when you come alongside somebody that has accepted Christ, a new Christian, that's very rejuvenating to your walk as well. If you haven't had that experience, I strongly recommend it. All right, so G is for God first. The I is for I becomes we. I becomes we. The very first word in step one is we. As you might have heard this phrase before, there is no I in recovery. It's we. I is not mentioned or not used once in the 12 steps, while we appears, I think, 14 times in the 12 steps. This program will not work for you in selfish isolation. You must be in community with others. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 shows the practical nature of being in community in your recovery when it says two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone, there is no one to help him. Two people can resist an attack that would defeat one person alone. That's why we have sponsors. That's why we have accountability partners. That's why we go into this as a group, because two people can defeat the enemy. Three people, four people can defeat the enemy. On your own, oftentimes that's what got you here, is being on your own. You came in the door many times alone. Maybe somebody brought you, said you need to go, okay? You come in and you start building community. You start building people that care about you, people that are not here to judge you, people that notice when you're not here, people that text you or call you, people that share their lives with you. So as I mentioned, this is not work. This program will not work for you in selfish isolation. And it will not work for you, your faith. You will not be all that you can be. You will not be a reflection of Christ if you're going to go the route of selfish isolation. If we look at what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, when he gives the greatest commandment, says, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot live that commandment in selfish isolation. You cannot love your neighbor as yourself sitting in your basement, sitting online, sitting in your car, you know, whatever it is. You've got to be out there in community. Okay? We saw Jesus do that. Jesus is 100% God. He can do anything. He didn't need 12 disciples or, for that matter, any of the other folks that he used, but he modeled that community, okay? And when you think about God's ultimate plan to share the gospel, to spread his word, is by using us, which I think is a totally weird plan, to use me to spread his word. He seems much more adept at it than I, but for some reason, that's what his plan is, and we're going to stick with that, all right? All right, so the V is for victories shared. Victories shared. Let me just take a look at my leader notes here. You may have heard this phrase if you've been in recovery, especially a Christ-centered recovery group, that God never, ever wastes a hurt. And that is one of the reasons that testimonies, as we do every other week, whether they're video or live, are an integral part of this ministry. When we testify, when we give our testimony, we are showing exactly what hurts God did not waste. in our life. And so just realize that, and especially if you're newer here tonight. And you know what? I wanted to make a note here. I don't think I said this earlier. Yeah, I want to go back just for a second. When I'm talking about this give lesson, okay, what we're talking about tonight is for folks that have been in this ministry for a little while, perhaps have completed a step study, maybe have completed our leader training. And my encouragement to you is if you're not plugged in as much as you can be in this ministry, you need to be doing that. Same thing with your church, whether that's here or wherever else. If you're a newcomer here tonight, you're not in the give stage. You're in the taking stage. And I want you to know that, okay? I don't expect you here maybe on your first night or early on in your recovery to do a lot of what we're talking about tonight. You need to go through that taking and receiving phase. Okay, this is time for you to kind of be selfish in the extent that you need to have other people pour into you, and if you can't give much back other than just showing up each week, that's awesome. That's what you need to do. So I don't want to frustrate or overwhelm somebody that might be new. And I apologize for not mentioning that earlier. So victory shared. We talk about God never wastes a hurt. 2 Corinthians, I believe, is the scripture that we have in the handout here. Yeah, it says, "Let us give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles, so that we are able to help those who have all kinds of troubles, using the same help that we ourselves have received from God." So help is in there a number of times. Helper. God refers to himself as the helper many times in Scripture. Some of your translations might say encourager, okay? This idea that we who struggle and have struggled and have had some victories as a result of this ministry, we are uniquely qualified to help others. I may have said this more recently when I was up here last time talking about I am uniquely qualified to speak to another alcoholic because I am an alcoholic and I know exactly what it's like. I know exactly the thinking that was thought. I know exactly the stupid decisions that were made. I know exactly the propensity to lie and deceive and gaslight and all, you know, deny and all that because I've been there. And my wife, who lived with that person for 30 some odd years, she can give you kind of a pretty good idea, but she can't feel it exactly because fortunately she doesn't share my addiction, okay? And so God has blessed all of us in this room with that ability to help others, and that's don't waste that. And I understand sometimes, especially for somebody early on, and thinking, wait a minute, you're telling me my addiction is a gift? Couldn't I have gotten like maybe an Amazon gift card instead, you know, or something like that? But I'm telling you, it's a gift, and it's a gift far beyond an Amazon gift card. Because you can take that gift, and along with God, you can make a difference. You can change a family tree. You can change your own family tree. You can influence others. Once again, you're not going to fix them. And so just realize how powerful that is. And so don't. When I come around and I'm harassing each of you for a mini-money or a testimony, yes, I want to hear your story. And I'm genuinely driven. I mean it when I say people need to hear your story. People need to hear your story. It didn't happen by accident, and it didn't happen to be kept secret. It happened so that you could glorify God and you could help another person that struggles with something similar. So give that testimony. Give that that mini-money. And finally, E in our acrostic tonight is for example of your actions. You have probably come across the phrase that your actions often speak louder than your words. You need to walk the walk, in other words. James, in his scripture, says in James 1:22, implores us to be doers of the word. You know this in your faith walk. You know this in your recovery walk. There may be times where you're not a doer of the word, where you're not a doer of recovery. And if you really think about those seasons, oftentimes there's not a lot of growth that's happening there's perhaps not as much joy as when you're a doer of the word, a doer of recovery. When you look at step 12, we see how this kind of plays out. Having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, have you had a spiritual experience as a result of this program? Now, once again, depending on where you are in your recovery walk, that may have not occurred yet. That did not hit me in this ministry, gosh, I was probably attending for 3 or 4 years. I'd attended and completed a step study. And I didn't connect the fact that I just kind of looked at it as, wow, this ministry is awesome. It's cool. It's powerful. It's magic. It's pixie dust. It's whatever. It's a spiritual experience, all right? It is God doing his supernatural thing through you and through me. And so having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message. Well, what message is that? That's the message of the good news we looked at in Principle 8. So we're going to share Jesus, but it's also the message of this program, okay, to others, and to practice these principles. So once again, an action, a call to action. We've had a spiritual experience. As a result of that, we carry the message. We talk about Jesus, we talk about this program, and we practice. We have to be practicing these principles every day, because if you're like me, they slip away. I, believe it or not, forget that I am not God on almost a daily basis, it seems like, especially in certain areas like my finances, okay? So I have to be reminded of those things. So give. Give your love. Give your encouragement. Give your time. Give by making God first in everything that you do. Give by coming alongside others. Do not be in selfish isolation. Give by sharing your story. And that starts at dessert. That starts at dinner, all right, where you maybe introduce yourself to a newcomer, get to talking about what brought them here, and oftentimes you can relate and you can let them, you can talk about your story so that they know they're in a safe place. They know they're with people that get it. So give by sharing your story, sharing your victories, and perhaps even more importantly, your defeats. You'll notice that every testimony that occurs up here, it's not all, I am wonderful and God is wonderful, thank you, have a nice evening. There's a lot of defeat. There's a lot of darkness that is throughout people's lives before that redemption, that those redeeming acts happen. So don't be afraid to share those defeats. But also share the victories, whether that's grabbing your 30-day chip, whether that's getting a one-year coin when we do those at the end of the month, you know, celebrating your recovery, in other words. So give, because freely you have received. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for this group of people. Thank you for getting each one of them here safely tonight. Thank you for the wonderful dinner that Terry prepared. Thank you for all of the servants that you've brought into this ministry that do give, the guys in the booth, the men and women up here on stage worshiping, even Jeff, you know, okay, helping me out tonight. Lord, there's the people passing the pens out, the people setting out the signs, people, there's just so many people you've brought in to serve in this ministry, and Lord, I ask that you put that on more and more hearts in this ministry so that we are all giving back to one another, and especially that we look out, and give the message of your Son and how life-changing he can be if people accept him. The gift of this ministry and how this ministry changes lives because it's grounded in the grace and mercy of your Son. Lord, I ask that for everybody in the room tonight, wherever they are in their recovery walk, wherever they are in their faith walk, wherever they are in their walk of life, maybe in a down season right now where they just don't feel they have much to give, I ask that you bring people alongside them to fill them, to give to them with their time, their tears, shoulder to cry, and all of that. And Lord, I ask that there is abundance in the hearts and in this room tonight, that those folks take it upon themselves to look for the others that may be a little bit down, to be sensitive to the fact that they've got some abundance and that they should share that. Lord, you're not a God of scarcity. You're a God of plenty and abundance. And I pray that you abundantly bless this ministry through the giving of these folks. I pray these things in your name, Lord. Amen.